You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, it took them almost a full week after getting eliminated from the playoffs. But finally, and just as I think probably more than a few Dolphin fans were beginning to wonder whether anything was going to happen, the Miami Dolphins have fired defensive coordinator Josh Boyer. And as a special tribute, I have this.
Just a young gun, thought we could use, seemed he fit right, but it was a ruse. We were dreaming of bigger things while we were always playing from behind. He's a yes sir, a Flores follower, fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat, Mr. Boyer. Take a number, you're unemployed now, bye-bye boy wonder, wonder. 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 Boy wonder. Wonder. Boy wonder. Now you're thrown asunder. Wonder. See boy wonder. At least you're not 6 feet under. Under. Guys were laughing in the spaces while he was scheming for the same old faces. Who do you think you are? Calling Preven on third and long. They say you're basic, they say easy. You're always calling cover zero D. Leaving X on a freaking island. Don't know your personnel, so now we set you free. Wonder. Wonder. Boy wonder. Wonder. Boy wonder. Now you're thrown asunder. Wonder, sea boy wonder. At least you're not 6 feet under, under. BLT. By Josh Boyer.
There it is. That's By Boy Wonder by Bill from Boynton, coming through with another banger as a special tribute to Josh Boyer. He's not dead. He just doesn't work here anymore. So Josh Boyer, Dolphins have moved on. And Brian, I've seen some mixed feelings. Some people say this is a little harsh. I think it was bound to happen, especially considering that this was the part of the team that was sort of thrust upon Mike McDaniel. This was basically something that Mike McDaniel was told when he was brought in. They didn't necessarily force him on McDaniel per se, but he was advised strongly to keep Josh Boyer in place. And now, after a season where the defense was pretty decimated by injuries throughout, Mike McDaniel has decided to move on from Josh Boyer. And, you know, he gets to bring in his own guy. And of course, it wasn't just Josh Boyer. They also moved on from safeties coach Steven Gregory, outside linebackers coach Ty McKenzie, and assistant linebackers coach Steve Ferentz. Ty McKenzie, the only member of that trio, of the four, rather, that were fired that was just finishing his first season with the team. The others were all holdovers from Brian Flores' staff. So Mike McDaniel makes the decision to move on. Brain, your reaction?
It was about time. Josh Boyer is a good defensive backs coach. But ultimately, the last 2 years as the defensive coordinator, he had play calling duties stripped from him after 8 weeks of terrible defense last year. To see the Dolphins defense rebound and really play well down the stretch when he was not the play caller defensively. And then this year he was the play caller start to finish. And you saw, well, you've seen no adjustments. You've seen him call the same defense over and over and over again. Everybody knows it's coming regardless of the personnel. And it's just not good enough. And that defense specifically does not fit what the Dolphins have the talent for, because that defense relies on having two elite lockdown man coverage corners, and you're without Byron Jones all season, and Xavien Howard, whether he lost a step or was dealing with injuries all year, clearly was not playing at the same level. And it was obvious very early on in the season that the Dolphins needed to play more zone coverage. And then they went out at the trade deadline and added Bradley Chubb for the sole purpose of putting more pressure on the opposing quarterback while only rushing four, so you can drop more in coverage. And he continued to call the same defense. And when it works, yeah, it's great. It's great to, you know, you get the splash play, the sack, you force the turnover. But when it doesn't work and you're giving up huge plays because you're leaving either an injured or old Xavien Howard on an island against the other team's best wide receiver, or you're putting an undrafted rookie free agent on an island against their other receiver, you get beat badly and it looks really ugly. And what it looks like is a Dolphins defense that was 27th in the league in scoring defense and in pass defense. So this team needed a philosophical change on that side of the ball, a schematic change, and nothing that Josh Boyer has done or shown in the last couple of years would lead you to believe that he would be the guy to make that schematic change. So this was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if there was ever going to be a moment where he had his sort of, you know, come to Jesus moment of, I cannot continue to play this scheme that I have been set up to play and that I played last year with a healthy Xavien Howard and Byron Jones playing that aggressive man-to-man defense, that I just don't have the horses to do that. If there was ever a time that he was going to have his hand forced to make that change of scheme, we would have seen it at some point this season, and we simply did not. You could see him kind of make some late adjustments, and, you know, and I think it's fair to say that he did have an incredibly shorthanded defense, but, you know, you can't keep playing, as you said, Brain, can't keep playing the scheme that you want to play if you don't have the right guys to play that scheme, because you're going to get burned. And that's exactly what happened. So the Dolphins have now moved on from Josh Boyer. And this is going to be an episode where we talk about that and talk about what is next for the Dolphins candidates who might be coming in. Is there anybody else on this staff that's going to be given the can? We'll see. But we're going to talk about all that on this episode of the show. But first, a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And if you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, we invite you to please like this video, smash the thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel, turn on notifications so you know when we go live. Shout out to everybody watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Thank you for being part of this. Share, like, and subscribe over there as well. Subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. And make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, particularly when news breaks like it did today that the Dolphins have moved on from Josh Boyer. I certainly don't think it's an unfair thing. I mean, I think you might say that, you know, given the circumstances, that it was an admirable performance at times this season. But for the most part, by and large, I think you look at it, you step back and you go, this really wasn't great. And then, you know, you also have the obvious elephant in the room was the fact that Brian Flores was the head coach of this team for the past 2 years. And there was that big turning point in the middle of the season last year where the rumor was that Brian Flores said, no, I'm going to call this defense at this point. And that's when things turned around for the defense last year. It was not Josh Boyer himself making those calls. It was the moment where Brian Flores took over that things turned around. So I think this has been a long time coming. And now Mike McDaniel gets to bring in his own guy. We're going to talk about some of those candidates who we might like to see come in. And if you're watching live, if you're watching on YouTube, you're listening on Podbean or SoundCloud, leave us a note in the comments. Let us know who you would like to see the Miami Dolphins bring in a defensive coordinator. We got some answers coming through in the chat already, and we'll share some of those in just a minute. We got some answers on Twitter as well. But before we talk about who the Dolphins should bring in, I got to ask you this question, Brian.
Okay.
Did Danny Crossman go to the same school of job retention as Chris Greer? Because I have no idea how that guy's, like, we've gotten to the end of this week. Defensive coordinator was let go, but Danny Crossman, of all people, and I think you could make an argument that the Dolphins special team was a worse unit than the Dolphins defense this year. But Danny Crossman, as of the time that we are broadcasting live on Thursday night, Danny Crossman still has a job.
Yeah. We'll find out how long he still has a job and if he still
That's
has
true.
A job.
It's only Thursday.
If he still has a job, then he still has a job. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, Crossman's been here for a few years, no?
Yeah, he's been here
for a little bit. It's like the special teams was bad this year, but the special teams was also good for a couple of years while he was here. So,
yay.
I mean, if you're going to sit here and get really upset about the special teams coach, then I don't know what to tell you. Cause, like, yes, I'm not going to sit here and minimize the importance of special teams, but, like, who do you want to see them hire as the special teams coach? Cause I guarantee none of you have a special teams coach just sitting there, like, in your hopper ready to recommend. I don't know. If you're going to fire Danny Crossman and you're going to bring in somebody else, everybody's going to be happy because it's not Danny Crossman. If he gets fired, he gets fired. If they keep him around, then that's a decision that will be questioned. And if the special teams is bad, we'll look really bad on them moving forward. So I think the smart thing to do is to make the fire so that you're not questioned about it.
Make the
because
fire.
Because it's like when they did the dual offensive coordinator thing and, you know, people said, well, this could work. It kind of, there's a little bit of sense to it. It's a run game guy and a pass game guy. And then you had your other people that said, well, it's never been done this way. It seems like a really stupid idea. And then we said, well, let's just wait and see what happens, because if it doesn't work out, it's going to be held against Brian Flores. And it didn't work out and it was held against Brian Flores. So if they decide to hold on to Danny Crossman, then it either works out and that's great, or it doesn't, and it's going to be held against Mike McDaniel. But I don't know specifically what's going on there in the special teams room to know that Danny Crossman deserves to be fired or hired, because schematically everything is pretty much the same from coach to coach on special teams. It's not like people are running like these exotic special teams, you know, formations and plays and everything like that. So maybe you just needed a little bit of regularity or, you know, maybe there were too many injuries and players missing in on that side of the, you know, on teams or whatever. I don't know. For all I know, he's going to get fired tomorrow, but I'm not going to sit here and like just go crazy about Danny Crossman keeping his job.
Well, I mean, he's no Darren Rizzi. What a reaction. Unbelievable.
Darren Rizzi. Yeah,
what if you're, we, what if you're we right. Made he Thomas,
he's not running up and down the sidelines yelling at people.
That's what you need. That's what you need. Listen, a lot of people make fun of Tony Sparano. But I didn't see kickers missing field goals left and right when Tony Sparano was running up the sidelines celebrating like he had just won the Second World War every time a field goal went through. Just saying. You need a fired up, you need an emotional special teams coach. How about we hire Thomas Morstead as punter / special teams coordinator?
Oh, I'm down. Just heap more responsibility on Thomas Morstead.
I mean, I like Thomas Morstead. I mean, there were times this season where he had nothing else to do. So he might as well. And maybe if we get that offense clicking again next year, because how about some positive news? We talked about a high-profile departure, which was Josh Boyer getting fired. How about we talk about a high-profile coach that says he's staying on? Quarterbacks coach Darren Bevell was asked to interview for a couple of offensive coordinator jobs, not the least of which was with the New York Jets. And Coach Bevell said, hey, guys, thanks. I appreciate this, but I'm going to stay in Miami. And that is, I think, pretty significant, and I think might end up being quietly one of the more significant offseason developments is that he has decided to stay in Miami, because I think he has played I would say a very large role in the development of Tua Tagovailoa in this offense this season under Mike McDaniel's offense. But I think Bevell came in and made a significant impact on Tua's ability to play the quarterback position in the NFL.
I agree. Bevell is a big part of it. And I think it's really great for continuity, because since Tua has been here, there's been a new offense. There's been a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback coach every year. So assuming that you're going with Tua next year, which it looks like it, I think it's great to give him a second year under this, not just the same offense, but under the same quarterbacks coach to work with. I think it's big to have that continuity for a young quarterback.
Yeah. And so if we get that continuity in place where Frank Smith stays on as offensive coordinator, Bevell stays in place as quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator, Matt Applebaum stays there as the offensive line coach, and you get, I mean, this would be the first time, and I think this is not insignificant to mention, it would be the first time since Tua Tagovailoa was in high school that he had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. It's pretty significant.
How about that?
And considering the leap we saw him take this season, I think that's really big. So while without getting too much into conspiracy theories and all of that, while I don't know, I'm still not fully convinced that this whack job organization isn't going to go chase some other quarterback because, you know, it's a bright light passing by. And, you know, Stephen Ross is like a dog chasing taillights. I think it's a pretty significant development to have him here. And it may prove to be a boon to the Dolphins to see this offense carry over into 2023 with the same core offensive talent and the same coaching staff, going to be significant. And I think we might see this offense take another big leap forward in 2023. So that's a really positive development. But Brain, with the dismissal of Josh Boyer, now the conversation really starts to turn into what this Dolphins team needs to do in the offseason. Okay. And we're going to talk about defensive coordinator candidates, but I think that's probably the place to start, because I think there are position groups, one in particular that I think is going to end up with a complete overhaul this offseason, or at least something of an overhaul, and that's the linebacker group. But I want to talk about potential defensive coordinators. And we've seen a lot of people here in the chat. I've seen Vic Fangio's name listed a few times. I saw Lovie Smith's name. Let's see, who else? I got Marvin Lewis here. A lot of names. We got a lot of people that are looking for new offensive coordinator. Jiro Ivero is with the defensive coordinator at Denver right now, who's somebody who a lot of people have interested. Lovie Smith, obviously, is just fired from the Texans, is a candidate. Vic Fangio, like I mentioned, is another one. Mike Zimmer is another guy that has been mentioned. So, Brain, who are some of the – I think it seems that the guy that is highest on most people's list, I won't say everybody's, but the name that is highest on most people's list in terms of who the Dolphins should bring in as defensive coordinator is Vic Fangio. Now, the Dolphins are a little bit late to the game here because Fangio has already interviewed with the Carolina Panthers for their vacant DC position, and he's also set to interview with the Atlanta Falcons for their vacant defensive coordinator position. And there's also another, I think, interesting story to go along with the Vic Fangio thing. And this was passed on. This was from Mike at Dolphins Talk earlier today. He did a little tweet thread. And he says that, I'll just read it word for word, because I think it's interesting. He says, in 2019, Miami had their head coach position open. Miami did research on Vic Fangio, but then said they weren't interested in interviewing him. There were other reports that Fangio turned down Miami's request, and Miami said that they weren't interested, just to sort of save face. Either way, he says he's not sure that Fangio in Miami is a match. Time will tell, and we'll see, one, if he gets an interview, and two, if he's offered the job, if he accepts it. But what happened in 2019 with whatever the actual story is could play a factor here in terms of Vic Fangio. Obviously, the situation in 2019 was a little bit different. The Dolphins were a completely rebuilding team at that point, and they were getting ready to go into tank mode. And so I think that maybe factors in. And that was for a head coaching position, where we know that Fangio ended up in Denver, where he was not terribly successful. He's now the defensive consultant with the Philadelphia Eagles and is now a highly sought after candidate as defensive coordinator. So, Brain, this is, talk about a guy who would be a complete change of scheme for the Dolphins. Fangio is that guy.
So to me, it's less about the guy and more about the type of defense that he's going to run. Now, I'll say this. If you get an experienced guy who's shown that they can be a successful defensive coordinator at this level and they run the scheme that's going to be a good fit for the talent that the Dolphins have on defense, then I think that that's a home run. So I think Vic Fangio makes a lot of sense. I also – and I want to touch on that story because I think you basically covered it, but it's just – like, let's look at this analytically. If the Dolphins decided not to interview Vic Fangio in 2019, were they wrong? No. If Vic Fangio decided to go to the Dolphins to be the head coach in 2019, was that a bad decision on his part? No, it wasn't. So both sides could have made the determination that for them and their career and their franchise at that time, it was not a good fit. And frankly, they both would have been right. But now it might actually be a great time because, and I know somebody put in the comments here on YouTube that they said, if any defensive coordinator that has options, Miami would be at the bottom of their list because Miami is going to go into win now mode with an unproven head coach and he could get fired. Well, I couldn't disagree more, because if you're an established defensive coordinator, then you're not worried about tarnishing your reputation if your team fails and your head coach gets fired. Vic Fangio isn't going to worry about that. Lovie Smith is not going to worry about that. What those two guys are going to look at is they're going to say, this is the defense I want to run. Let me see the players on that defense. And just about any defensive coordinator is going to look at the talent on Miami's defensive line, and they're going to see Javon Holland in the back end, and they're going to say, yeah, I can work with this. I can absolutely work with this. And Vic Fangio and Lovie Smith make great sense, not just because they're both experienced. I actually kind of love the Lovie Smith idea, because the more I've thought about it, the more it intrigues me, the idea of playing like a Tampa 2 defense, where you're just letting the front four get after it, and you get a linebacker that can cover a ton of ground in the middle of the field. And then, you know, you're playing two deep safeties. Now, if you're going to play two deep safeties, you probably got to get another safety to play next to Javon Holland. And that would be the big piece of the puzzle there. I'd also be intrigued to see how they manage to do that, because I'm not sold that Jerome Baker could necessarily be that Derek Brooks piece in a Tampa 2 defense, but Lavonte David's going to be out there in free agency. And it kind of intrigues me, the idea of what if you put Brandon Jones in that role, because you're going to play a lot of big nickel, and you just put him in that role and he could cover that ground. Not a great run defender. Your run defense is probably gonna suffer a little bit, but it does in that scheme anyway. But I think that would be a good fit. I think I would probably go Fangio and then Lovie Smith. Mike Zimmer is another name that I love. I just don't know that he's necessarily interested in returning to coaching. But I guess we'll see if he's even a guy that garners an interview. And then there's a couple of younger guys, you know, that have been brought up, the defensive coordinator from the Broncos, Ejiro Evero, and the defensive backs coach or defensive line coach from the Bills, Eric Washington, which I think it's interesting to consider, you know, a young up and coming guy, but considering the lack of discipline that we've seen and the youth on the offensive side of the ball and at the head operations with Mike McDaniel, I'd feel a lot better as a fan, if this organization decided to go with a more experienced option. So that's why Fangio and Lovie Smith make the most sense to me. I'd be happy with either of those guys, but it'd be very intriguing to see the move. I think they're more built to be like a cover three defense than they are to be a Tampa 2, but regardless, they've gotta be a zone oriented defense. You've gotta be able, to play a lot more soft coverage and give your and put the emphasis on your most talented position group, which is your defensive line, to get after the quarterback and not be so worried about just gap control defense.
Yeah. I think the candidates, the head coaching candidates that you mentioned are really interesting. The Tampa 2 defense is an interesting idea conceptually, but yet considering what the Dolphins have at linebacker right now, they're going to need some serious upgrades there. But there are guys out there that could prove to be that guy. As you mentioned Lavonte David, who's a key guy out there. Another guy is David Long with the Tennessee Titans, who's another one of those guys who can kind of do everything. Buffalo's Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a free agent this season. So, and he's fairly young, I think only 25 years old. So there's quite a few, guys out there, that could help boost that linebacker position for the Dolphins, particularly if they're going to incorporate, you know, more of that Tampa 2 scheme. Let me toss another candidate out there that I think is an interesting one just because there's a clear connection and relationship. But Chris Kocurek is the defensive line coach in San Francisco. Now, here's where this one gets a little tricky, because San Francisco's defensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, is almost certainly going to get hired somewhere in a head coach position, or at least he's one of the guys that, you know, the buzz around the league is once San Francisco's season is over, that's a guy who's going to get a lot of interviews, and he is likely going to get hired somewhere. And that's going to open up the defensive coordinator position in San Francisco. And there'd be a lot of continuity, obviously, by just promoting your defensive line coach. But considering McDaniel was most recently with the 49ers, there is a relationship there, and we know that that seems to be something important to Mike McDaniel. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts on Chris Kaczurek as a possibility for defensive coordinator position.
I mean, obviously success with San Francisco's defense, but kind of hard not to have success if you've got San Francisco's defensive line and you're the defensive line coach.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I'm like over the moon about that. But you know, it would leave a lot to be proven, because
yeah,
it's like when you hire like Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator and you're like, or when you let's use a more relevant
who would hire
analogy.
Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator? That couldn't be our franchise.
Did we hire Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator?
Well, we hired Adam Gase. Wasn't that his whole thing?
Oh, that's right. We did hire. It's not even a more relevant thing to say. It's like hiring Joe Philbin away from the Packers.
Yeah, there you go.
That I thought was more relevant, but you're right. We did have Gase. But yeah, it's like you hire a coordinator away from a team who's got an immense amount of talent in that position, and then you expect to have the same results. So I don't know that that's necessarily good process to do that. I think you got to go after somebody that's experienced. And I think it's not every year that you have really experienced, really proven guys that also run schemes that fit what you're looking for. So to me, it'd be a missed opportunity if you don't come up with somebody that is that has more experience as a defensive coordinator, because you don't know when that person makes the jump from defensive line coach to defensive coordinator if they have too much on their plate. Because right. It sure looked like this year, as head coach, Josh McDaniel had a pretty steep learning curve, because he went from being an offensive coordinator that wasn't even a play caller to suddenly a head coach who was also basically running the offense and calling plays and had a lot on his plate. And we noticed little things that made us say, maybe he's a little in over his head in this regard. Yeah. So we don't need that, especially coming from Josh Boyer, who clearly has been in over his head the last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, and I think you may have just combined Josh Boyer and Mike McDaniel and turned him into Josh McDaniel. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I get it. I hear where you're coming from. And yes, that would be my only concern about Kaczurek, is that he doesn't have the experience. He's not a proven defensive coordinator that can get it done in the NFL. I mean, that doesn't mean that he wouldn't be successful. But to your previous point, I think the Dolphins are not going to have a difficult time attracting a top defensive coordinator candidate, because what they have to their advantage is this incredible core of young defensive talent. And I'll say this, as somebody who is admittedly not a big fan of Chris Greer in general, where he has really had his best success is in bringing in talent on the defensive side, Charles Harris notwithstanding.
Can I make a point?
Okay,
go ahead. Finish your point.
Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins, Emmanuel Ogba. I know that's Zach Sealer. I know Sealer is not a draft guy. Ogba, not a draft guy. Javon Holland, Brandon Jones. There's a lot of young talent. That core of the Miami Dolphins defense is young and good. And that when you look at what that is supplemented with, Bradley Chubb is there. Xavien Howard may be on the downslide, but he's still somebody with a strong reputation. Who knows what the deal is with Byron Jones? I think he's almost certainly gone. But if there was some issue with him and Boyer, maybe somehow, and now Boyer's gone, maybe that opens the door to him returning. I don't know. I don't know what that story is. But when you look at the talent that the Dolphins have on the defensive side of the ball, that's attractive. That's an attractive proposition. And I would be, I fully expect the Dolphins to pay Zach Seeler, pay Christian Wilkins, and do everything they can to keep that core of talent together. It's the area where we're going to see. I mean, there's also a lot of young, promising talent in the secondary as well. You know, now I think we're going to be looking at
a lot of young, promising talent.
But there's some. I mean,
I think promising talent.
Kader Kohou was impressive. Trill Williams has been impressive. Now, maybe it's because those guys were impressive in their ability to do what Josh Boyer wanted them to do, but they're not going to be as impressive in their ability to do more of like the soft zone kind of stuff that whoever else is coming in is going to ask them to do. But there's talent there to work with, right? The big area where the Dolphins are going to need to upgrade, like we mentioned earlier, is linebacker. But I mean, that being said, it's not like the Dolphins have no linebackers. The Dolphins have some talent there as well. So it's clearly the weakest unit on the defensive side of the ball, but there's a lot of talent to work with. So that defense is going to be an attractive proposition for whomever our future defensive coordinator is going to be.
I think there's a lot of talent on the defensive front. I think you have a very good safety piece in Javon Holland. I'm not sold that we really have what we need at linebacker. We're not bereft of talent, but there's nothing that excites me about our linebacking core unless you see Channing Tindall do something next year. Because, you know, Jerome Baker kind of is what he is. Jerome Baker, if he was your second best linebacker, I could live with it. But if Jerome Baker is your best linebacker, it's a bad linebacking core. And that's where we're at. Frankly, I don't know that Jerome Baker was even the best linebacker on this team this year. I think you could make a case that Landon Roberts was the team's best linebacker this year, which is really disastrous. Because Landon Roberts, for the things that he does do well, is an extremely limited player. I'm not sold that we have what we need at linebacker. It's why I think, you know, we'll see who they hire at defensive coordinator, what kind of scheme that coach runs, and we'll take a look at the free agents. I absolutely would advocate for us addressing linebacker in free agency this year. Yeah. So I would love to go into next year with a better linebacker than Jerome Baker and have Jerome Baker playing alongside that linebacker. And then, you know, they'll make their decision on whether they bring back an Andrew Van Ginkle or if they bring back a Duke Riley. But then you also have Channing Tindall there, and those guys could be, and whoever else can be, a depth piece. That would look really good. I think you can take your linebacking core from being below average to being very good if you could bring in a really talented player to really police the middle of the field. I don't think so. A lot of people have said, well, you need to move to a 4-3 instead of a 3-4. That I think is meaningless, because nobody, you're going to play like 75% of your snaps with five defensive backs or more. So you're usually going to play with two linebackers on the field, or in a lot of cases with one linebacker on the field. So it doesn't matter whether you're running a 3-4 or a 4-3. The only thing that impacts is whether or not guys like Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb have their hand in the dirt. And I think those two guys, they've kind of proven that they can play either way. Now, you can make the argument that Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb have played their best when their hand is in the dirt, in which case, cool, I'm all for it. Play a four-man front. But 3-4, 4-3 linebackers, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to play, in most snaps, you're going to play one or two linebackers on the field.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that linebacker situation as we get a little bit closer to the start of free agency. Once we know who the Dolphins' next defensive coordinator is, I think that's going to go a long way to giving us a sense of where the Dolphins are going to go in free agency. I think this is kind of clearly an episode of the show where we're really talking more about the defensive side of the ball. There's not as much to talk about on offense right now. But I think, you know, when we get in, as I said, closer to free agency and closer to the draft, we're going to start talking about where the Dolphins need to improve the stand. Obviously, they're not going to do a whole lot in the draft unless they package a whole bunch of picks to move up. And that's not something that I'm anticipating too much. I think the Dolphins really this year are going to be looking to find some diamonds in the rough in the second and third round. And that's going to be where you're really hoping that they can have a hit. But we'll talk about free agents as we get a little bit closer to that point, as I said, and see what the Dolphins need to do. That we know that I think the big two things that the Dolphins need to do in this upcoming offseason is they've got to find that linebacker and they've got to find whoever their number two quarterback is going to be, because that's going to be a big story. But, you know, the backup quarterback market isn't something that's going to make anybody's heart go pitter patter.
I think if you could bring in a I'm not one of these guys that, like, pay a bunch of money for like a Jimmy Garoppolo, or I don't think that that's the answer. But if you can get a value deal for a guy like a Gardner Minshew, that's at least shown that they can play at a serviceable level. And you don't need to break the bank. I think that's an intriguing option. But if you're talking about spending a bunch of money on a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, or spending a bunch of money and bringing in, like, if Matt Ryan still wants to play and hang on as a backup quarterback, I'm throwing Skylar Thompson out there and I'm saying, I'm not spending big money on a backup quarterback, because a backup quarterback, even if Tua gets hurt, you're going to see that backup quarterback play five games, maybe. Because there's no guarantee that they're not going to get hurt, as we've seen this season. So,
yeah,
like, I would rather spend the money that you would spend, you know, $5 to $10 million of cap space on a guard, a corner, a safety, somebody that's going to play a significant amount of snaps for you. And when push comes to shove and you're in a game and you're in the playoffs and you have your starting quarterback playing, because let's face it, if your starting quarterback's not playing when you get to the playoffs, you're already screwed. Yeah. I'd rather be paying for somebody that has the potential of helping us win a playoff game, not a backup quarterback that's going to be sitting there on the bench, but maybe they could win you a game or two. I think you need to improve your running game so that you're not relying so much when, like, if Tua misses games, okay, we can win the game because our defense is better and our running game is better and Skylar Thompson is a little bit more improved.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally just lost to the Bills by 3 points with poor quarterback play.
That's true.
And no running game and bad defense.
Yeah.
Although the defense didn't play a terrible game.
Yeah. They had a better game. They did things in that game that they didn't do a whole lot of over the course of this season, which was forced turnovers and, you know, score points, which, you know, that was one of the things that we rode for the previous couple of years to victory. So, well, we'll see what happens. But this is the situation. So we know the Dolphins are in the market for a defensive coordinator. I'm really curious to see what kind of names the Dolphins line up. We'll probably start hearing some of that in the days to come, who the Dolphins are interviewing. We'll probably start hearing names over the course of the weekend. If I think it'd be really interesting once, if somehow the 49ers get eliminated by Dallas over the weekend, which I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen. I actually suspect that game could be pretty lopsided. But it's going to be curious to see who the Dolphins bring in to interview for that defensive coordinator position. We know who the big names are. It'll be curious to see who actually comes in and has those conversations, because I think that is, you know, I see there's a world where a lot of people are locked in on Vic Fangio. And I know that Vic Fangio was also one of those names that was pretty closely associated with Sean Payton as he makes his return to coaching in all likelihood in 2023. So it's possible that Vic Fangio is not somebody that the Dolphins actually are able to bring in, but we'll see. We'll see. So we're going to wrap it up here soon. I want to mention, because I haven't done so yet, that everybody needs to head over to TrueClassic.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 25% off on your True Classic gear. I'm wearing my blue zip-up True Classic hoodie right now, and this is not a promotional item. I went and spent my own money on this. It's a great product. It's something I've been into True Classic for a really long time. They make great clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, and they look good. They're reasonably priced. They're good quality. And, you know, on top of all that, you can use the promo code DolphinsTalk, get a 25% discount. So head over there, TrueClassic.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 25% off of some already discounted shirts, pants, outerwear, underwear, anything you're looking for, and you're going to look good, and you're going to feel good, and it's going to be great. So head over to TrueClassic.com, promo code DolphinsTalk, save 25% off, and if you spend over $100, free shipping, which is, that's a pretty good deal as well. Brain, any parting words for the people here before we sign off? I don't know how often we're going to be back here. I mean, we'll be obviously back anytime kind of news is breaking and things are happening. But any parting words for the people as we head into the weekend and the Dolphins go into officially the defensive coordinator market?
Well, I just think it's exciting. I'm interested to see who they end up interviewing, like who ends up coming out on that short list. And what I'll say is this, whoever comes out on that short list, like, let's look at things analytically. Let's not be super focused and honed in on one guy. There can be more than one good candidate. And so if you, you know, if let's say because Vic Fangio is obviously the guy that everybody like is touting as atop the list. If Vic Fangio is in fact tied to Sean Payton and Sean Payton takes a job, then, you know, you might not end up with Vic Fangio, and that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. Like, Vic Fangio is not, you know, the end all be all of defensive coordinators. It's not like this guy has really won a whole lot. Like, he's a good defensive coordinator. I get it. He's experienced, but like, you know, if it's a guy like Lovie Smith, who has been a Super Bowl head coach and has been the defensive coordinator on a team that's made it to, that's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's got a better track record than Vic Fangio. And there are some young up-and-coming guys, and there are other guys. It is more about the scheme than it is about the guy. And then, obviously, I tend to lean more towards experience, but ultimately it comes down to presence and communication. Like, does this guy have the ability to command the room and organize an entire defense? And that's why it's harder to get behind a younger coach, because you don't know. There's an element of the unknown. Yeah. Whereas with those two guys or a Mike Zimmer or whatever that has a oodles of track record, then you throw that out the window and you're like, okay, this guy knows how to do his job.
Oodles of track record. Fantastic. Well, let's also not forget that when the Dolphins started their head coach search last season, not too many people had Mike McDaniel at the top of their list. So, you know, and I think most people are reasonably pleased with Mike McDaniel, even though he has some shortcomings. But we've already talked about those on the last episode. If you don't know what they are, go back, check it out. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Hey, leave us a review. I'd like to get into that. We got to do a contest here where we make people leave us a review in order to win something that we give away. What are we going to give away? Any ideas? What should we give away?
A signed poster of the Real Housewives of Miami.
That's a good idea. That's a great. How about a signed Orestes Destrada growth chart? How about that? That's a deep cut for those South Florida sports fans out there. Yeah. Well, anyway, go ahead. Leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. We appreciate it very much. We don't have anything to give away just yet, but maybe we'll let you, you know, you can hop on a Zoom call with the Brain and watch The Real Housewives. That might be fun. Might be fun for everybody.
Miami is lit.
Yeah, see, there's something to it. There's something to it here. But yeah, thank you as always for joining us here on the Same Old Dolphin Show. Make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins as news continues to break. We're going to have all kinds of coverage over there at DolphinsTalk.com. So come on by, visit. Let us know what you're thinking. Leave us comments below. Let us know, who do you think the Dolphins should hire as their defensive coordinator? Is there somebody that we have not mentioned that we should bring in? You got to let us know. Put it in the comments. We look forward to reading your thoughts. And as always, we look forward to hearing from you. So thank you. Thanks. Another shout out to Bill from Boynton for Bye Boy Wonder, that song that we played at the beginning of the show. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate that. And yeah, we will be back as news continues to break here in the off season. We're kind of in the exciting part. Who do you like this weekend, Brain? Who's going to go to the AFC and NFC championship game before we sign off? We're going to get Buffalo, Kansas City, and Atlanta.
Say that again.
You think Buffalo and Kansas City are going to face off in Atlanta? You think they're both going to win? I think Kansas City will beat Jacksonville. Not so convinced Buffalo is going to beat Cincinnati, though.
I think it's going to be Kansas City and Buffalo. I think Buffalo will find a way against Cincinnati. I think Buffalo had their bad game and they escaped. I think it's a wake up call for them. And I think you get a much better game out of Josh Allen. I think they win a shootout. On the NFC side of things, what do you got? You got San Francisco is facing up against.
You got San Francisco and Dallas in San Francisco, and then you have the Giants going to Philadelphia.
I kind of like Dallas to beat San Francisco to pull off the upset. I think
that is a hot take.
I think they got the monkey off their back and beat Tom Brady and got that kind of got.
They beat
basically
the
got the monkey off their
Tom
back,
Brady.
And then at the end of the day, you're talking about, you know, Brock Purdy, and I like Brock Purdy. Look, I called it when he came in and he beat the Dolphins. Said the guy made some big time throws in that game, but is he going to make the big time throws in the playoffs to get his team to the NFC Championship game? I don't buy it. I actually like San Francisco. I mean, I like Dallas to win that game, and then. The other matchup is the Giants and
Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles will mop the floor. It's a divisional game, so you know, you never know. But I think the Eagles will take that. So I think you're going to have an NFC East showdown in the NFC title game. The Cowboys and Eagles.
I just want to get this.
The Solitanos are going to be going wild.
I just want to get this on the record here, okay? You know, it's a great story. You know, it'd be a great story if the Bills were to go all the way. But let me just say, I hope it doesn't get to this point, because I want them to lose on Sunday to the Bengals. But man, how sweet, how awesome would it be if the Bills got to the Super Bowl only to lose again? I would be doing shots of Buffalo Bill fan tears. It would be fantastic. Fantastic. And listen, I get it. It's a great story. I wouldn't even be like, I wouldn't be as annoyed if the Bills were to win the Super Bowl as I was every time the Patriots won the Super Bowl recently. Like, it wouldn't crush my soul like that this year just because of everything that they've gone through. But I still hate the Bills. And I would still love, I mean, I would friggin' eat it up if they lost in the Super Bowl to somebody again. It'd be brilliant, especially if it was like another missed field goal at the buzzer. Oh, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting emotional.
That'd be beautiful. My belief is that whoever makes it out of the AFC is going to not just win the Super Bowl, but dominate the Super Bowl.
Oh, interesting.
I think the three best teams in the league are all playing in the AFC playoffs right now, and that's Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincinnati.
Well, I guess we'll find out. But anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Enjoy the football this weekend. Stress-free, no Dolphins game this weekend. No Dolphins game for quite a long time, but that's okay. That's okay, because we've got a lot of other exciting things to be thinking about as Dolphin fans. So that's an exciting time. So then, until the next time we talk, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Personally, I'd like to see a little bit more prevent on third and long.